She spins to the side, and the silhouette of her perfect ass is next to me. She cocks her hip out and offers up the side of her G-string. I do as she says. I want to do what she asks of me. Anything she demands, I will provide. I reach into my pocket and pull out... Shit. I don't have any cash. I rarely carry cash anymore. I mean, everything's done electronically and on my phone and... Fuck! My angel requires cash and I have none. God damn it! I'll be back, I shout, and I run to the ATM in the corner of the club. As I'm putting my card into the machine and withdrawing the $500 maximum withdrawal, a small voice in the back of my head, I think it's in my head, calls out that I'm acting like a mentally ill person. I crush it before it can say more. This is the most rational, logical, sane moment of my life. I know it is. When I turn back to the stage, she's gone. What the fuck? She's gone. The rest of the club has emerged from its blackness and all the sad, pathetic losers who think they're somehow going to get a stripper to fall in love with them are back in my eyeline. The stage is no longer awash in its golden hue, but just in the lame glow of the gelled Klieg lights, and the sound of Me So Horny blares over the loudspeakers as the DJ announces the arrival of Honey Walls to the fucking stage. I run over to the bartender who walks toward me with my credit card. Here you go, boss, sign here. I grab the receipt and sign. I ask, where's the girl? The one who was just up there, the angel? Scarlet, he says. She'll be out in a second, probably, for lap dances. He hands me back my card and says, thanks a lot, pal. I have a brief moment where I consider that I am neither this guy's chief, boss, nor pal. But again, I let it go. I see a kind of fat guy in a dark, rumpled, stained suit sitting by what I imagine to be the dressing room door. He'll presumably know where my angel is. I head over. Hey, I say as I approach. Excuse me, that girl, Scarlet. She back there? Big guy eyes me like he's sizing me up. I know exactly what that looks like. I've seen that look more times than can be remembered. Who's asking? Big guy wants to know.
Nobody. She back there, bro.
Big guy seems unsatisfied with this response. He rises from his stool in the way that almost always happens after the sizing up part is concluded.
Dude, I begin, because here's the thing. I don't want to have to take this guy down. Well, that's not exactly true. I kind of do, because he's fucking underestimating me. I can tell, and that drives me crazy.
But just like with the bartender, I'll let it slide because I've got other fish to fry. Also, if shit jumps off now, then Evan and his brothers will step in and have my back. That's just a fact. And those guys have to work in this town. And it'd be terrible PR for LVF Rescue if the Review Journal ran a story about how one of its engine companies got into a fucking melee at a strip club. So I'm trying real, real hard to be the shepherd. That's a line from Pulp Fiction. Samuel L. Jackson says it. Every time I take the high road in a situation like this, I think of that line. I love that movie. So many good lines. People say the phrase, I'm gonna get medieval all the time now, and forget that it came from that movie. So rad. I haven't seen it in a while. I think I'm gonna watch it later when I get home. I think I'm rambling in my head again. And just as it looks like shit's about to go to a place it can't be rolled back from, she walks out from behind the curtain. It's weird. She's still just as beautiful and magnificent as she was a moment ago. Perfect lips, taut, toned stomach, incredible, real tits, emerald green eyes. But she seems less angelic somehow. More of this earth and less like she was in my dreams. More, I don't know, human. I decide not to think about it too much.
Hey, Scarlet, says Big Guy. This him?
Him? She eyes me for half a second. Oh, no, no. No, it's not him. Thanks, Otis. She gives Big Guy a pat on the arm, eyes me with more than a little suspicion, and crosses into the room where she plasters a big smile on her face. Not sure why it looks painful, and starts talking to the losers. I give old Otis a look that says, you're lucky, buddy. Totally unnecessary, but fuck it, he is. And follow Scarlet. whose real name simply cannot be Scarlet. I'll bet it's Persephone, or like Iphigenia or something. Something real elegant and biblical. I come up behind her just as she's reaching this douchebag wearing a gold chain. "Hey," I say as I lightly touch her shoulder. She feels like baby powder. "Can I..." She turns around and interrupts me before I can finish. "You. The guy who took up my attention for almost half my song only to have no money. What do you want now?" "I'm all out of free lap dances. Go ask her." She points at a girl who's currently shoving her comically oversized fake breasts in some poor schmuck's face. "Name's Charity. Maybe she'll give you some." "I'm sorry," I say in return. I really do not feel like myself all of a sudden. I feel nervous and awkward, which has simply never been me. The weirdest part? I don't hate it. I wasn't actually planning on staying, but whatever. I went to the ATM and got out some cash. I feel bad. Here, please take this. I pull out the wad of cash. I never carry a wallet. I wind up losing money in the street all the time. She eyes it with some skepticism. Then she eyes me up and down with the same skepticism.
"What kind of work do you do?"
Fuck it. "I'm a lumberjack." I hand her $100. She takes it, stuffs it inside her bra. I get a glance at her nipple and remember that I'm still rocking a savage hard-on.
"Lumberjack, huh?"
she says. She glances down at my stiff cock.
"I buy that. Looks like you're packing some serious wood."
I simply can't be anything but proud of her observation. I come back with, "I'd love to take you to the forest sometime." Jesus, that was pretty fucking weak. She rolls her eyes.
"So," she says, "looks like you have a couple more dollars there. You want to dance?"
"No. I want to fuck that halo off your head and die in your arms." "Sure. Is there a, what do you call it? A champagne room? Like, you know, someplace more private?"
"We call it a VIP lounge, but it's very expensive."
"Okay."
"It's $300 for the hour."
"Okay."
"Plus the cost of drinks."
"Sure."
"Bottle service only."
"Fair deal."
She continues to eye me with uncertainty. "Yeah. Okay, lumberjack. Let's go."
She takes me by the hand and my dick freaks the fuck out. As she's leading me to the back, I see Evan emerge from the bathroom carrying a spent-looking Jeff. He sees me heading back with Scarlet and a smile threatens to completely overtake his face. Until... Jeff heaves and throws up on Evan's $1,500 Tom Ford shoes. This night is not turning out like anybody planned.
Chapter 6. Tyler and Maddie. I've still got one of his hands. It's kind of hot. Not making me hot and not sweaty, just kind of... hot, which to my surprise is perfectly okay, for the moment. "Okay, soldier," I say, then stop when I notice the pained look on his face, recover and continue with, "Let's have the credit card. You want to start with 1 hour?" He stares at me for a second, like maybe he's changing his mind about this. For a second, I think I went too far, and maybe I should have lowered my opening bid to 30 minutes. But I shut up. I need this hour. I mean, that $100 was a good start, but it's not enough. I need more just to break even if I want to come out ahead after last night. I'm gonna need at least 2 hours from this beard and a few more like him when he's done with me. So I squeeze his hand, and he relaxes. "Okay," he says, handing me the credit card. I hand it over to the waitress as we pass her, saying, "Bring us fresh drinks every 15 minutes. Top shelf scotch." And take him through the curtain and into the room. I look over my shoulder to see what he'll say about that, but he's just staring at me. Kinda creepily, actually. "You got this, Maddie." I lead him over to the couch, turn, making him turn with me, and then flatten my palm against his chest and push. He sits, his head tilted up, his eyes looking a little more dangerous than they did out on the floor. Shit. I might regret this. Listen, I say, stepping forward so I can straddle his legs and look down at him from my position of authority. I'm very strict about the rules, okay? No touching. I mean it. If you touch me, I'm gone. Got it? My heart beats fast as he considers my conditions. But then he nods his affirmation, and I relax. I don't care how much money I need to make tonight. I don't compromise on the rules. I smile because that's what Raquel told me to do, and throw him a bone, because that's how you be nice, right? You can touch my hands, though. That's it. You touch my tits, I'm done. You grab my ass, and I get the bouncers to throw you out.
Hands, he says, blinking. Got it.
He reaches for both of them at the same time. I exhale, annoyed. But I did give him permission, so I try to let it go and just start dancing.
I don't remember the last time I held a woman's hands. Which is, of course, not true. I held some chick's hand just the other day as I was sticking her in a cab. But that's not really holding. That's taking or touching. Holding implies care. Holding implies consideration. And that's what I find myself doing now. Considering her hands. They feel warm, but that may just be me. They also feel small, which is surprising, just because she's tall, which I realize makes no sense. I guess I don't know what I expected, because I didn't expect any of this. 10 minutes ago, I was ready to walk out of here, and now here I am in the VIP room of a strip club with an angel who I certainly didn't expect to see here grinding on my dick. And she's amazing at it. She's an okay dancer, but she's amazing at grinding against my cock. She's not slamming herself into it in some awkward way. She's, I don't know, caring for it. It's so easy for girls to forget that a guy's cock is attached to a, you know, guy. But she seems aware of me. This is so fucking wild. Tell me your name, I say. I was not expecting to speak. I certainly wasn't expecting to say that, but it's what happened, so I must really want to know. Scarlet, she purrs. Goddamn, fuck me, her voice is sexy. Yeah, but no, seriously, what's your name? She slows her grind for an almost imperceptible moment, then she says, what's yours? Okay, that's how we're proceeding, that's fair. She doesn't know me, and I have caused her to be burned alive in 2 separate dreams now, so she's being cautious. But like her, I'm not sure I'm ready to part with that information just yet. Until I'm certain she won't bail once she recognizes me as the guy who destroys heaven, I should be careful. I don't know if it's because I just went car shopping or if there's some other reason this pops into my head, but I pull the first name I can think of out of the air. Ford. I'm Ford.
Ford what?
She asks. I stumble for a second. Then I just decide to go with the car theme and pick out the first car company that comes to me. Aston Martin. Aston. I'm Ford Aston.
Ford Aston?
Seriously? Jesus Christ. She's gotta know that's fake. It's like the most made-up sounding name anybody's ever thought of. Why didn't I go with Ford Martin, or Martin Ford, or fuck? What an asshole. I need to pull it together. I should stop talking. But she doesn't call me on it, or make a thing out of it. She just keeps grinding her perfect, pretty pussy against me, and I shut up and keep holding her gorgeous hands.
I'm not the greatest dancer here, but I'm fucking motivated tonight. So I put some extra effort into it, get my hips moving, just barely skimming his dick. It's hard, which distracts me a little. The waitress comes in, sets our drinks down on a nearby side table, and then leaves without comment. I wrangle one of my hands from his grip. He puts up a small fight about that, but I win, and then pick up one glass and hand it to him. Here, I say. Relax a little. You seem a little tense. He takes the glass, downs the drink in one gulp, and then sets the glass back down so he can grab my hand again. Jesus, I laugh. You really need some attention tonight, huh? He says nothing, which is kind of disturbing, since he was pretty forward out there on the floor. Maybe even desperate, fumbling over his words and acting all awkward like a strip club virgin. Now he's different, more in control. Definitely not a virgin. So are you really a lumberjack? I ask. He looks at me for a long second, and then his thumbs start caressing little circles against my palms. It tickles a little. Sends a shudder up my spine. I want to pull my hands away and shake it off, but his fingers are wrapped around my wrists, giving me the impression that there's no way in hell he's gonna let me go. I'm just about to put an end to this when he says,
"Yeah, I cut shit down for a living."
His voice is low and throaty, his dick still hard. "Okay," I say, looking over his shoulder with a sigh. I stare at the wall for a moment and wonder just how the fuck I got here. In a dark room, alone with a guy who might have just hinted his job is killing things. People, not trees. I'm pretty sure he's not talking about trees. But he lets go of one of my hands to reach for the other drink on the table and downs it. I breathe a little easier. Maybe he'll just get drunk and sit here quietly? Hell, maybe he'll fall asleep and wake up in 5 or 6 hours. I almost snicker at that thought. But then I stop. Not the snicker, but like, stop. Because he's caressing my shoe. "What are you doing?" I ask, and there's nothing nice about my question.
"You said not to touch you."
"Right. So why are you playing with my shoe?"
"You said hands only,"
he continues, ignoring my question.
"Yeah. So what about feet?"
And with that, he slips my shoe off. It drops to the floor with an audible clunk.
I cut shit down for a living? Good Christ, I really am a fucking tool. I take her foot up just to see if I can distract her from my unforgivable display of toolboxery. And this is it. I'm fucking this whole thing up. She told me only hands, and I broke that rule, and in about 2 seconds she's going to scream for someone to come save her. I hope it's that Otis dude. If I can't fuck an angel tonight, at least maybe I can get out some frustration by busting open his fat melon. I'm sorry, Angel. I'm sorry. I won't blame you if you hate me. Fuck.
I'm about to scream for the room monitor when his thumb does that little circle caress on my bare soul. The shiver is back, and it shoots right up my spine, leaving the hair on the nape of my neck tingling. There's a few places on the human body that rarely get attention, so when these places do get that attention, everything about it is heightened. The calf, for instance. When a man touches my calf, it drives me wild. The back of the knee. Kiss me on the back of the knee and I practically come. And the foot. I sit down on his lap as he continues, placing my hands on his shoulders, feeling the hard, taut muscles underneath his shirt. My thighs brush against his jeans, which are soft, like he's owned them for years and they've been washed a million times. I close my eyes a little, so they're half-masked, and enjoy the heat of his body as it mingles with mine. His cock is pressing against the thin fabric of my panties, reminding me that I've got a job to do. So I start moving again, slowly, just enough to keep him entertained and not so much that this turns into something more than I usually give. I gaze down into his eyes as he stares up into mine, and I want to say, "What? Why are you looking at me that way?" But I can't find any words. We just stare at each other, finding something in this moment, in each other. Something we recognize. Like a dream you forgot and then remember. Or a stranger who feels like an old friend. He lets go of my other hand and slides his fingers over my other shoe. A moment later, it too drops to the floor. and then I've got thumbs dancing on the soles of both feet. And this time my eyes don't stop at half-mast. I close them and enjoy the unexpected tingle of attraction.
Holy fucking shit. This is not how I expected this to go. I'm starting to get the sense that my angel needs something. That's why she's been so kind to me in my dream. That's why she came back with me here, even though she seemed like she didn't want to at first. That and the money, the little voice in the back of my head tells me. I know, I respond to it silently. I'm crazy, not fucking stupid. But she's hurting. Somehow. She is. I can see it. I've seen plenty of suffering. Enough to know when someone is in pain. And she's in pain. And it hurts me to see her hurt. And I do know this is insane. I know that she's not really my angel and that we're in the back of a filthy fucking strip club and that everything in me right now that feels hopeful and warm is a fucking lie. I know that. But I don't give a shit. Because there is something here. Alchemy. You know it when you feel it. And I can feel it the same way I can feel her pain. And I decide that I'm going to help her. I haven't been able to save her in my dream, but maybe that's the point. Maybe the dream is just a notification that I'm supposed to save her in the real world. Save her from what, I don't know. But I think I have to try to find out. I know this is nuts, but I can feel it. Just like I can feel the end of my erection pounding against her creamy thigh. I take a breath to keep from coming right now, and I keep rubbing her foot. Because she's letting me. My angel.
It feel okay? He asks. I take another moment before I answer. Get it together, Maddie. Not really, I lie, and it's such a fucking lie. He knows it too, because he lets out a small laugh. I can follow the rules. Scarlet. He makes a point of emphasizing my name to let me know that he knows it's fake, but something about the way he says it makes me open my eyes all the way again and really look at him. He's scraggly. His hair is a shaggy mess of unruly darkness, and his beard looks like he just can't be bothered to shave. Not the trendy kind of beard that some guys like to wear.
But, you know, I like to bend them backwards as far as I can when I get the chance.
Is that so? I ask. My voice is low and throaty, just like his.
If you don't like it, tell me to stop. I will.
I stare down at him and consider my options. He doesn't seem to be concerned about getting his money's worth, and that's a good sign. But he also seems interested in me. Every guy who comes in here with me comes for me, right? I don't know why I think this is different, but there's something about this guy, something more in the look of him, in his quiet assertiveness that makes me reconsider everything about what's happening.
Do you want me to stop?
He asks. I'm not in control at the moment, and this is very unusual, at least while I'm working here at Pete's. Lately, Pete's is the only place I have any control over my life. I get to call the shots. I get to lay the ground rules. I get to say yes or no.
Scarlet, Angel, give me a roadmap, or I won't know where the limits are.
Do you have a problem with limits? I ask, snapping back to the moment.
Yeah, sometimes.
I decide he is, at the very least, being honest, so I'm gonna give it a little longer before I make up my mind about whether or not to cut this short. Besides, it really does feel fucking amazing. No, I whisper. Don't stop. He offers up a small smile, but it's kind of a sad smile, and I don't know how I know this, but I do, because I recognize it, and I think I'm smiling back at him in the very same way. We are two people filled with the same world of hurt, and for some reason, it makes me feel better and worse all at once, and I need to know more about him. Because I don't want to see myself in this stranger. I don't want to see the pain and sadness, whatever's bothering him. I want to fix it. Did you have a bad week? I ask, letting my fingertips slide up underneath his hair. It's soft, softer than I would have imagined, if I imagined those kinds of things.
No worse than the thousands of bad weeks that came before.
Now we frown together, understanding each other. My hands are fully engaged in feeling the texture of his hair, my fingertips brushing lightly across the little bit of bare skin above his shoulders. On an impulse, I reach down and tug his shirt up. He raises his arms and lets me take it off. It brushes past my thigh as it falls to the ground.
Here we go. And not in a good way. Well, that's fucking life. Shit.
And that's when I see the scars. Jesus, I say. When I look at him, he's just looking back at me, expressionless. What happened? I ask. It's a stupid question because there's only one way to get scars like that. Fire. He shrugs and squeezes both of my feet, like he needs to hold on to me.
You don't want to know.
Okay, soldier. My words when we first came in here echo in my head, the pained look on his face. I decide he's right. This isn't something I need to know. It's too close to my own pain, way too close. So I do something else instead, something I never do. I take his face in both my hands, and I kiss him. He doesn't respond at first, but I don't give up. I brush my lips against his, softly at first, then harder and more persistent. For some reason, I know he needs this kiss, and I'm the one who needs to give it to him. I take it a step further. Just add one more thing I never do to the growing list of things I'm already doing, because I need to forget. And how can I forget if he remembers? So I touch his chest, feel him, feel the jagged edges of his scars. And that's when he kisses me back. His mouth opens and his tongue slips inside me. I breathe heavy, my heart beginning to gallop as his hands leave my feet and land on my hips. Sorry, he says into my mouth. But when he withdraws them, I clamp my hands down on the back of his, and keep them there. Don't be, I whisper back, still kissing him. My body feels limp and soft, and he feels like a goddamned rock. Hard, stable, secure. I start to grind on him, moving seductively. The waitress appears with fresh drinks, but neither of us cares. He's mumbling something as I take my kisses to his neck. Something about heaven, or... I don't know what he's mumbling. My mind is spinning with what he's been through and what I've been through, and what it means that this guy, someone who seems just as lost and vulnerable as I do, might be just what I was looking for tonight. It's dumb, and I feel a little naive for buying into the bullshit, like the customers must feel at the end of a lap dance, taken for a ride, but unable to step off because they need it. I unbuckle his pants, slip my hand inside, find him very hard. His hands are wandering too, slipping between my legs, his fingers pushing inside me. I grind my hips even more forcefully, even as I try my best to hold back.
Hey, he says, breaking the moment. You don't need to do this. You don't have to.
I'm conflicted, because I'd forgotten where I was for a moment. At work, with a customer who is paying me money to be here with him. So I pull away and reach for the fresh drinks. I hand him his, then take mine. I don't ever drink at work either, but what the fuck? I guess I'm just throwing out every rule I have for this guy. He takes a sip of his scotch. It's watered down so much he doesn't even wince at the burn. And then he sets it down and places both hands on the back of my calves. I close my eyes and bite my lip to stifle a moan. It's like he knows me, all my deepest secrets, all my desires, all the pleasure spots on my body. How the fuck does he know me?
Should we go back to the ground rules?
He asks. but I just shake my head. No, I say. We've gone long past ground rules tonight. We talk for a little bit after that. Turns out he's kind of funny. I find myself laughing more than I have in, hell, years, I think. He tells me about his car, which is pretty typical of men, right? But I don't even know what kind of car he's describing. He calls it some kind of Land Rover. But when I say, yeah, I can totally picture it, he insists that, no, there's no fucking way I can picture it. And I believe him. I don't know why. He's just some random stranger, and his word means nothing to me at all. But I do. I believe him. I let him describe it to me in every detail, the wheels and suspension, and a whole bunch of other shit that's lost on me. But he's smiling the whole time, so I don't care. And I don't even know why I don't care. I just want to listen to him, hear his voice and see his smile. I want to feel his bare chest under my fingertips and know that we're in this night together. Whatever pain we have, whatever regrets and bullshit are haunting us, we're in this night together.
I have no fucking clue why I'm talking to her about my stupid car. I feel dopey. High, almost. It's not like I'm trying to show off or brag to her. I could give a fuck if she thinks I'm awesome because I have a fancy car. In fact, if she did think I was awesome because I have a fancy car, I'd be fucking out of here. But I know she wouldn't think that, because that's not who she is. No, I'm telling her all this shit, I guess, because I like her. I don't know her, but I feel like I do. We have something in common, but I'm not sure what. I only know that I feel immediately comfortable with her, and I'm positive that it's not just because I'm paying her. Something inside me tells me that she's not good enough at her job to fool me that much. No, there's something else between us. I promise myself I'm not wrong. And shit, I don't really like anybody, but I like her. I laugh and shake my head at that, and that's when I glance down at my watch. It's 4:30 in the morning. What happened to the night? It's almost gone. How did that happen? Haven't we just been here a few minutes? How has all this time flown by and it feels like I've only just arrived here with her? What have we even been saying? Not much. Stupid stuff. Nothing even really that personal. Just talking about cars and drones and Tahoe blue being a color and... I haven't spent all night talking to a woman without trying to fuck her since I was 15 years old. I start thinking maybe we should get out of here. Continue talking at breakfast. I can bring her to my place. I have burnt toast and whiskey. Or maybe we can just head out and watch the sunrise, or maybe... maybe I should just tell her my name. And in an instant... I remember that happiness and good times are things that are generally reserved for other people. Because I stopped my fucking fantasy thrill ride into the future when I look down at her hands. And I see that she's touching my history again.
I trace the edges of his scar, this time paying more attention to them. And when I look up at his face again, he's frowning. He says,
"Seriously. You don't want to know,"
like he's reading my mind. And he's right, I don't. But I picture it anyway, because I don't really need the details in order to take a good guess.
"Stop,"
he says, again with a mind reading. And then his hands remember what we started earlier. Fingertips slip between my legs, and I realize I've been sitting in his lap for hours. The waitress has come and gone so many times, we've got dozens of drinks covering the table, most of which are even more watered down with the melting ice than they were when they arrived.
"Don't try to figure me out. It's bad in here."
He points at his head. I place my palm on his face, look at him, and feel so much sadness I get a lump in my throat. He grabs my hand and pulls it down onto his cock.
"But it's excellent down here."
I'm like a goddamn vampire. I know the morning is just about here, and soon they're going to kick me out, and I can't risk this being the only chance with my angel that I'll get. I also can't fucking wait anymore, and I can't pretend to be somebody I'm not. so I take her hand and force her to take my dick and hold it. Tight. It is by far the best thing about me. And if I'm going to leave her with anything, any memory of this night, it's not going to be about me stumbling to get words out or dumb shit about cars or the fucking scars all over my body, which, until this very moment right now, I have never given a shit about, but suddenly I hate them and wish they were just not there. But they are. And so I want her to remember something else about me. Please, Angel, remember what happens next instead.
My hand wraps around his shaft and begins to pump. He lets his head roll back into the couch as his fingers play with my clit. I can't stop. I don't want him to stop either. We can't even think about stopping. So I grind on him, the wetness almost pouring out of me as he continues to stroke me. And then, before I can get a hold of myself, I come all over his fingers. He grabs my hair and pulls me forward, his mouth on mine, his tongue inside me again. His hands are on my tits, pulling them out of my angel outfit. The wetness from my release smears across my nipple. "You're my angel," he says, lowering his head so he can take my breast in his mouth. "Yes," I say, knowing everything about this night is wrong, and I'm going to regret all these sweet, perfect moments the second I lead him out of this room. But I don't care. "Yes," I say again, his teeth nipping me until I throw my head back and wince. "I'm your angel."
I can't wait. I can't hold out for another second longer. She can see that I'm about to release all that's inside me all over the inside of her thighs, so before I can, she stops pumping with her hand, drops to her knees, takes me in her mouth, and slides the warmth of her tongue down the length of my shaft. She's barely gotten her lips all the way around me before I explode onto her tongue. I can feel hot cum throbbing out of me and sliding down into the back of her throat. She takes it all in. She drinks it all down. She keeps bobbing her head back and forth, making sure that she has drawn every last drop of me dry. My stomach clenches and releases as I moan, "Angel." She finishes taking it all in, draws her lips back slowly, kissing the tip of my softening cock as she goes, then draws herself up to my waist and kisses me on the belly button. Then up to my chest and kisses me over my heart. Then finally to my chin, where she lurches forward and kisses me on the mouth so that I can taste the salty residue of myself on her lips. She places both hands on my knees and pushes herself to a standing position, her breasts and stomach passing my face as she lifts up until her pussy is directly before my mouth. And I start to get hard all over again. I rise up so that I'm standing with her. Once again, I take her hands in mine. I lift them, studying the soft curves where her fingers crook and bend. I go in for another kiss when the curtain swings open. It's the waitress, the one who's been bringing us drinks all night. She surveys the two of us without judgment, but she does twist her head to the side. "Hey, Scarlett," she says.
You missed your last stage dance and, Raven's heading this way. Just, you know, in case you guys want to put any dicks back inside any pants or anything."
She closes the curtain.
I
start before my angel interrupts me.
"Shit, Raven's gonna have my ass. We gotta get it together."
I nod. I push my dick back in my pants. She adjusts her tits into her bra. I put my shirt back on. She straightens her halo back upright and reattaches her wings. I try to smooth my beard down as much as I can. And we stare at each other. For what feels like a very long time.
Chapter 7. Maddie. It's dark in here. They do that on purpose so customers can't tell how late it is. But it's not late anymore. It's early. So the only reason I care if it's dark or not is because I want to see his eyes. Like, really see his eyes. And I can't, because it's too fucking dark. I say, because even though he was really chatty all night, told me stupid jokes and funny stories, he's quiet now, like he's wondering what the fuck just happened. I'm wondering that too. Thanks, I say. It comes out like a question, and I roll my eyes at myself. I have never, ever given a customer a blowjob. Shit, I don't let these jerks touch my tits, let alone sit in their laps and get giddy like a stupid fucking schoolgirl. And get off, I remind myself, and swallow their fucking cum. I glance at the table of drinks. You know, the ones that are still full. So I can't even play this off like I was drunk. I sucked his dick and swallowed his. I shake my head and turn away as the waitress comes up with the bill. Sign here, she says, handing him a pen. There's a shuffle of paper, the credit card slip, I guess. So I glance over my shoulder to look at him one last time before he walks out and catch him pocketing his card. He's looking at me like, no, he says, thank you. And then he turns away, rubbing his hand over his beard. I'm not sure if he's feeling as lame as I am due to the lackluster final conversation taking place, but I don't want to leave it this way. So I open my mouth and I'm about to say something. Maybe explain myself. Tell him I'm not that kind of girl. I never do this sort of thing. He's the only one. But that's when fucking Raven bursts in. Time to go home, big spender. She shoots him a wink that's sexy, but only in a sad stripper sort of way. And then she glances down at the bill and laughs. Jesus, Scarlet. What'd you do, suck his fucking dick all night? Raven, real class act. He's a fucking customer, Raven, I snap, a little louder than I should, pissed and trying to play it off at the same time. We're not allowed to fuck the customers. I mean, girls bend the rules all the time. Mostly we get them all excited and they come in their pants. But we don't fuck the customers in the club, and we certainly don't get on our knees and let them shove their cocks down our throats. If we want to do that shit, we gotta take it someplace else. Raven squints at me. Shit. She knows. She must. I glance at the waitress, who is playing monitor for this room, and she gives me an almost imperceptible shake of her head, meaning, I didn't say nothing. So I go all in with my defense, because I cannot lose this job. This guy right here might have saved my ass tonight, but one night does not change a girl's situation. I gotta think of myself. You know I would never suck a customer's cock. Especially this guy, I whisper loudly, thumbing over my shoulder at him. Come on, Raven. I glance behind me just to see if he's gonna play along or decide to out me, but his face is almost blank. Almost. There's a slight frown, if I'm reading him correctly. It's hard to tell with that beard. Did I hurt his feelings? And now I feel like shit. I feel confused and stuck between two worlds, Maddie and Scarlet. The person I am and the person I have to be. I want to say more, tell him that's not what I meant, goddammit, but he's already heading for the door.
Hey, Chief, the bartender calls from the other side of the room. Thanks for the tip.
My guy says nothing, just huffs and keeps walking until he passes through the doors and out into the early morning light. Did you? Raven starts. No, I snap. Don't be a bitch, Raven. I don't appreciate you accusing me of inappropriate behavior, okay? Keep that shit to yourself. Well, Raven laughs, you are certainly taking this personally, but okay, she says, holding up her hands in surrender. Whatever, you didn't suck his cock. Congrats on getting him to spend more than $2,000 on you tonight, plus the liquor and room tab. Guess you won't have a problem paying me now, will you?
Yeah. The bartender laughs as he approaches us. And that fucking hobo spent almost $2,000 on drinks at the bar, too.
He tipped us good, too, the waitress says. Almost $800. Jesus, that's like $7,000 all in. On one night with me. I saw his credit card. It was one of those green American Express ones. Not even the gold one. Who the fuck was that guy? And then I realize I never got his real name. Ford Aston. What a crock of shit. No one is called Ford Aston. I head for the door, and for a second I feel like chasing him out to the parking lot, making him tell me who he is, getting his fucking number, or writing down his license plate, or something. Hey, Raven calls, stopping me in my tracks. What? I snap again, so sick of her shit. You better watch yourself. What's that supposed to mean? I saw you flash a customer last weekend. What customer? Sitting in the front row during your dance, waved that 50 at you, and then you spread your legs and pulled your panties aside, gave him a peek, and took his money. Shit. Guys like that, they what? I ask. I'm just saying, watch yourself, Scarlet. She sneers my name. Of course she knows it's fake. Raven is fake, too. But it's a hard and fast rule that we don't call each other by our real names in here. Too easy to slip up in front of customers. Because rules are rules, and I don't even like you. So if you think you're gonna break the rules and still have a job, think again, sweetie. She pats my cheek, two quick slap-like taps to make her point, and walks out. I am torn between chasing down the beard guy and just wanting to grab my shit and get the fuck out of here. I go for option two. Fuck this place, and fuck that guy. He's just some stranger I met at work. Just another sad dude who needs to watch girls get naked to make himself feel better. He's nobody, and the quicker I put this night behind me, the better off I'll be. The next day, or night really, since I slept all day, I am ashamed of what I did. I just stare at that money he paid me and feel dirty, sinful, and I'm not even religious, like at all. But this is Sin City, right? I mean, I grew up in the devil's playground, and last night I broke every rule I have in place that lets me pretend I have values. But the truth is, my job is a ticket straight to hell if it turns out there is a god standing guard at some pearly gates checking everyone's moral compass before he lets them pass through. I'm totally fucked after last night. I mean, before that, I could play it off, pretend I'm nothing but an entertainer. But the longer I work at Pete's, the looser I get. I did pull my panties aside for that Logan guy. Raven saw. And he works for Carlos, and now I can only imagine what they're all saying about me. Not that I care what some kingpin's henchmen think of me, but I sort of care. I spend the rest of the week beating myself up for what I did, promising myself I'll never do it again. Maybe it's because I wore the angel garb, or maybe I'm just starting to lose it a little bit, but I find that I now seem to have an angel of my own sitting on my shoulder that I'm begging to forgive me and a little devil sitting on the other side, who really likes having extra money for once, that I'm telling to fuck off. But the devil is winning. He's got a much better argument. I like having extra money, and I do need it, because two more real estate agents turned me down. I even made them each a free video. It's like they were just taking advantage of my freebie offer and wanted nothing to do with my services. Fucking freeloaders. Plus, I think about that guy. A lot. All week. Almost every minute of it. And that makes me stare at that money and wonder if I should give it back. My angel is saying, "Yes, Scarlet." The angel is calling me Scarlet. Jesus. Give it back. You'll feel better and your soul will be cleansed. But the devil is the one I listen to because he says, fuck that, you earned it. And after everything you've fucking been through, everything you've dealt with all on your own, fuck it, you take that shit, Maddie. But why does he call me Maddie when the angel calls me Scarlet? Before I can reflect on that too heavily, he speaks up and interrupts. And you're never gonna see that guy again. You can't give it back. You need it, and you don't even know his name, so this guilt is a pointless moral exercise. Like I said, he makes a lot more sense. So I listen. But here's the part I don't expect. To my horror, when Friday night rolls around, I discover myself hoping that my guy will come back and give me more. Not money, though. Just more.
Chapter 8. Tyler. When I get home, I try to process what just happened. Let me go through this for a tick. I show up at a strip club. I see an angel I've been having dreams about, riding the pole. I go into a private room with her. She tells me not to touch her. Hours go by. She sucks my cock until I blow in her mouth. I pay out like 7 large, and then she kind of talks shit about me and sends me on my way. It is entirely possible that my life is a little out of balance. The rest of the week is kind of hazy. Every time I close my eyes, flashes of her skin against mine, her hands touching me, the feel of her pussy against my fingertips all come charging in, which is kind of fucking me up, because I don't usually do that. Have what are basically fantasies about something that's already happened. But this, with her, I don't know. I can't shake it. So I start taking a Klonopin and chasing it with a shot, or 5, of whiskey. Dr. Eldridge, my shrink, gave me the Klonopin. She said I should take it for anxiety. She didn't say I should take it with the whiskey, but in my experience, mixing any two drugs is usually a pretty good method for relaxation. And that cocktail helps me sleep. But when I fall asleep, I have the dream. And so then I wake up, sweating, shaking, and I have to take another Klonopin with a whiskey chaser to calm the fuck down. The whole thing is super sexy. I order food. I watch TV. I fuck around on the internet. I find myself Googling random shit like Scarlet Pete Strip Club Vegas. You know, random. And days go by. At some point, it looks like I punched the wall, I think. Someone did, because there's a hole. I wander over to it and place my fist inside. Yep, must have been me. Perfect fit. Besides, no one else has been here. Have they? I wander around my place to see if I can find evidence of anyone else having been here. I stare out the window. I think about leaving. I don't. I ignore the phone. I take anti-anxiety medication. I sleep. I dream. I wake up. It starts again. And days go by. I should leave. Go out. Fuck some chick. Or two. I don't wanna. Is that weird? That seems weird. Somehow I know, though, that if I leave, I'll just drive to that strip club and see if she's there, and I don't wanna do that. Or I do, but I'm not gonna, and fuck! What was that? Did someone fire a gun somewhere? No? Sounded like someone fired a gun. Fuck. Okay, it wasn't? Shit. My heart is fucking beating again. God damn. I take a Klonopin. I'm not sure how many I'm supposed to take, but they seem to be helping. Maybe. A little? I don't know. I take a second Klonopin. I chase it with whiskey. I order more food. I think about going to the strip club. I don't go to the strip club. I try to sleep. I dream. I wake up and... It is entirely possible that my life is a little out of balance. But fuck it. I take a K-pin. I don't know if people will call them that, but I do. And a chaser. I sleep. Maybe I'll get lucky. And I won't wake up. And I won't wake up. And I don't wake up. And I don't wake up. And I... Holy shit. I sleep. Oh my God, what the fuck, dude? I wake up. Fuck me. I have woken up with strangers in my bed 1,000 times, but very rarely are they fully dressed men eating a Pop-Tart. Hey, says Evan. He's sitting on the foot of my mattress. The Pop-Tart is brown sugar cinnamon. They're our favorite, since we were kids. What the fuck are you doing in my apartment? What's happening? What time is it? Is everything okay? What the fuck, dude? At least I'm pretty sure those are the questions I ask. I'm not entirely certain what I say, if I'm being honest. It's possible I'm having another weird fucking dream. Goddamn Klonopin. Anti-anxiety my ass. You know, he says, standing up, it takes a lot of balls to ignore my calls and texts for a fucking week and then ask me what the fuck. Also, you're out of Pop-Tarts. See ya. He throws the foil wrapper on the bed and crumbs spill everywhere. He starts walking out of my bedroom and towards the front door.
What?
I ask, jumping out of bed to follow.
What are you saying? How did you get in? Where are you going?